We're turning to the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, prophecy of Isaiah, and reading from chapter 53. We're going to read the first six verses of the chapter, Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his word to all our hearts. We're going to bow in prayer and ask the help of the Lord today. Our gracious and eternal God, we come before thee again, and we seek thy face on behalf of those who sorrow at this time. Lord, we pray for Mrs. Clowes and her sisters and all the family circle, and grant, O God, as they mourn over the death of a dear one, comfort them in the knowledge that their loved one trusted Christ as Savior, and that she is with thee in the glory. And our Father, we pray that give them strength to cope with this hour and with the days that lie ahead. We ask of thee to pour in the oil of joy for mourning, give beauty for ashes, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And grant, O God, that all families today, even we remember again Frank and his family, and commend them to the God of all grace, and again thanking thee for the triumph of that grace in the life of his dear wife. And O God, help us all to consider that life at best is very brief. Help us to remember the need to prepare for eternity. And O God, may we in this service today, every man and woman, every young person and boy and girl, be challenged through thy word, and help us to come in faith to Jesus Christ and to trust him as our own and personal Savior. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Having read from Isaiah chapter 53, I want to consider with you for a short time this morning the subject of wounded for me. Wounded for me. Isaiah's prophecy becomes very personal. And over again, we have the personal pronouns, even in this chapter, of we, us, and our. And the prophet, known as the evangelical prophet, makes very personal the Lord Jesus Christ to us. And I trust that today, as we gather here for our morning worship service, that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and make it personal. And as we think of Christ being wounded for us, that we'll consider that it is a personal matter for ourselves. We were singing, "Was it for me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne. The dazzling splendor of the sky, was it for me? He came to die." And friends, I'm glad that I can say this morning, through personal experience, that it was for me. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die. I said, Isaiah makes this message personal and applies it individually. And I trust the Holy Spirit will do that even today in this meeting house. Here in these verses, not only is the message made personal to us, and we, us, and our are mentioned over and over again. If you look at verses 4, 5, and 6, you'll and underline the number of times that we, our, and us are mentioned. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So we can see how very personal the prophet speaks to us in these verses this morning. And yet, moreover, it is all about him, about Christ. It's about the Lord Jesus. While the message of being wounded for me is personal, yet the message here is all about Christ. All about him. He is in the forefront of the picture here. If it had not been for him, there would never have been a place called Calvary. And if it had not been for us and Christ loving us, we would never have heard of the place called Calvary. For thank God it was there that Jesus died. It was there he paid the price for our sin. It's there God meets with the sinner and makes salvation personal for you, for me, for us. And thank God, as we look at Calvary and the wounding of the cross, we can see Christ. It's all about him. We read these same verses again, and we emphasize the personal pronouns he and him. And let us do that just for a moment. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God for the emphasis on him, on Christ, on the Lord Jesus, who bore it all. The Lord came into this world to bear the burden of our sin. That's what this message is all about. That's the simplicity of it. Christ Jesus came into the world to bear the burden of our sin. He bore it for us. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I remember as a teenager helping out on the farm at home. And many's a time we were sent to the shop to buy various things, including meal for the farm animals. Now, there wasn't much difficulty at the shop in loading the meal. The men there dumped it onto the trailer or else into the boot of the car. But when we got home, we had to haul those bags 100 weight, each one of them, out of the trailer or the car boot, down an entry into the store place. And it was a heavy burden. And one knew the labor and the burden of carrying those heavy bags. The Lord Jesus Christ, we are told, he came into the world to bear the burden of our sin. Our sins are a heavy burden, and we feel that burden. But Christ takes that burden, and he nails it to the cross, and he dies in our place, and he sheds his precious blood so that I no longer carry that burden. It's laid on Christ, and he bears it for me. Friend, I hope you can see the analogy there. And I hope you can see Christ, the burden bearer, the sin bearer, the one who took our sins to the cross, and the one who died in our place at Calvary. And if you're in this meeting house this morning and you're carrying the weight, the burden of sin on your heart, you feel it in your spirit, you're weighed down by the burden of your sin, thank God at Calvary burdens are lifted and blind eyes are made to see. There's a wonder-working power at Calvary. And friend, you need to come to the cross today. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Praise God, Jesus carried the burden to Calvary. He carried it to the cross. He carried it to the nailing and the spitting and the shame of the tree. And from there, the Lord Jesus Christ has put our sins away. In the book of Leviticus chapter 16, and in the verse 22, we read about the scapegoat. The high priest, having laid his hands upon the scapegoat, having confessed the sins of the people, laying his hands on the head of the scapegoat, releases that scapegoat, and it goes out into a land not inhabited. That's what the Bible says. A wilderness, a desert, never to return again. A picture of the forgiveness of our sins. Praise God. God laid our sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. Thank God today the Lord Jesus Christ has released us from the burden of our sin. And that burden has gone to a land uninhabited. And our sins are forgotten. They're forgiven and they're remembered no more, never to be seen again. That's the completeness of the pardon we receive from Christ. That's the wonder of it all. How that the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us, cleanses us, so that our sins will never be seen again. Oh yes, you see them before you today. The Holy Spirit brings them up before your very sight today, and you remember them, and they're being added to in remembrance. But praise God, the heavy burden of sin is forgiven, pardoned, and sent away, never to return. Once you come as a sinner to Jesus Christ. And as we're gathered in this meeting house this morning, friend, that's the greatest need of your heart. That's the greatest need of your soul. You with your burden of sin, burdens are lifted at Calvary. That's where Jesus died and paid the price in all its fullness so that you might be pardoned from your sin and go free and know Christ. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head. Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, bore all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no burden for me. My friend, thank God for our burden bearer. The story is told of a missionary in Africa who was driving his truck along a mud road, and he saw a man carrying a burden upon his back. And he stopped the pickup and he asked the man if he would take a lift on the pickup. And the man climbed up into the rear part of the pickup van, and he stood there holding on to the front rail with one hand and supporting the burden on his back with the other hand. And as the pickup drove on, the missionary turned round and saw what was happening and said to him, "Man, could you not lay your burden down on the van, and it'll save you carrying it?" And the man replied, and he says, "I didn't even know if the van could carry both me and the burden." Are there not many like that today? They don't know about the cross. They're ignorant of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ bore the burden of sin. And all you have to do is lay it down at his feet. Ask him for pardon and for cleansing. Let the Savior bear that burden. Let him pardon you and forgive you. Having borne it on the cross, oh, there's no longer need for you to bear that burden, dear friend. Leave it down at the Savior's feet. Ask his forgiveness and go on your way rejoicing. The burden lifted, pardon and received, and the joy of forgiveness in your heart. Our Lord came to bear not only the burden of our sin, but also the penalty of our sin. It says, "We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." The word for afflicted means humbled or degraded. And more than that, it means being hurt, pained, and wounded. All of these things the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for our sins. All of these things he endured upon the cross, stricken, afflicted, smitten, humbled, degraded, suffered. All of them are appropriate when describing the sufferings of Christ on the cross. What a picture of Calvary we have here. What a collection of words we have to describe the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And yet, they are totally inadequate. They cannot fully describe the depths of his sufferings when we think of his physical sufferings. Being spat upon, crowned with thorns, smoten by the fist and by the hand, hairs plucked from his face, beaten with many stripes. Oh, it goes on and on. But then what about his spiritual sufferings? He poured out his soul unto death. No man will ever know what those sufferings entailed. We may begin to imagine by using our imagination, but no man or woman could ever enter into those sufferings. Indeed, I read on one occasion many years ago that for us to probe those sufferings is indeed a dangerous thing. None of the ransomed will ever know how deep were those waters crossed, or how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Friend, Christ bore the burden. Christ suffered. He was afflicted. He was stricken. The stroke of God was upon him. The Jews in Israel in days of old feared the stroke of God. That stroke, they believed, was manifested outwardly in being smitten with leprosy. It was a terrible disease in olden times. And men or women who were smitten with that stroke of leprosy had to be separated from society. They suffered and they agonized with it. It was an awful stroke. And the Jews feared what they called the stroke of God. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered the stroke of God at Calvary. When the Father smote him, and he suffered for our sins upon the cross. The Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we praise God that Jesus was smitten for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. I'm glad I can say that today. What a Savior we have. Not only do we have the reality of Christ's sufferings, but there is the reason for Christ's sufferings. Verse 5 says he was wounded for our transgressions. The word transgressions literally means revolt. Man has revolted against God. Man is in rebellion against the Lord. He's a rebel. He has revolted. And it conveys the idea of sinning against lawful authority. When a people rise up in revolt against lawful authority in a nation, it results in lawlessness, in murder, in mayhem and in destruction. We have seen that in our beloved Northern Ireland over a 30-year period, when a certain section of people rose in revolt against the authority of our nation. And we had murder, we had mayhem, we had destruction, fear, tears, death, and mourning. What a sad 30 years of experience our country came through. My friend, transgression is revolting against God. It's rising up in rebellion against him. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden by revolting against the commandment of God, the lawful authority of Eden, the lawful and peaceful government of Eden. Adam revolted against it, and by revolting against it, he sinned and disobeyed and plunged all mankind into that state of sin and misery. The word transgression also conveys the idea of perverseness or crookedness, being off course. It has all these connotations. When we use the word crooked, how true. But does it not convey the terrible crookedness of all that's mentioned in it? And as we think about it and apply it to the human race, there's a terrible crookedness about the human race. And that crookedness was demonstrated at Calvary. That warpedness, that perverseness, it was demonstrated at Calvary because Jesus died for the crookedness of man, the sins of mankind. And because there was no other way of salvation, no other way to heaven, no other way to the glory land, Jesus had to die for a crooked and perverse people. You and I are crooked. We're perverse. We are off course. And my friend, being off course, you're heading to a lost eternity. You need to get on course. And Christ is the only one who can set you on the way to heaven. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Maybe you don't understand it this morning. There's a wee verse of a hymn that says, oh, make me understand it. Were we not singing it? Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. And we're told not only the reason for Christ's sufferings, but the result of his sufferings. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. My friend, Christ has borne the full load of our sins and iniquity. And because of that and the result of it is that we are forgiven and we're pardoned. We're made right for heaven. We're ready for the glory land. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed today in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed? The result of Christ's sufferings has brought blessing to untold millions down through the years who have repented of their sin and accepted him as their Savior. Many of them are in the glory today. Others are on the way. People are still getting saved. They're coming through for Christ. They're putting their trust in him. What about you? Is it well with your soul? Do you understand Christ was wounded